I will talk about a little difficult and terrible times. And the title I have today is When the Times of Adversity Dance. Events in the world are getting more and more crazy, and stability in the world fading at a rapid pace. Pandemic related production stoppages and faltering supply chains, material shortages and delivery difficulties are forcing many companies to grind to a halt. Food prices are exploding, further supply bottlenecks are feared, power cuts are becoming more frequent, energy prices are continuing to rise, unemployment features are exploding, and humanity are facing many, many other problems. This triggers many emotional fluctuations within people. What feelings do all these problems trigger in us? What do we have to fear? What should we be guided by? The world is rushing toward a very bad time of adversity that cannot be stopped. And it will never be as easygoing as it was last 2019. 5 years ago. Christ predicts dark times for the world and for all us, but most people will only respond by rolling their eyes, shaking their heads, or laughing mockingly. Some prophets experienced such mocking in tears during Old Testament times. We can read in Psalm 42. Psalm 42 and verse 3. My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, "Where is your God?" And Joel 1 and the verse 17. Joel 1:17. The sea shrivels under the clods, storehouses are in shambles, barns are broken down, for the grain has withered. God wants the world, not just individual nations, but the whole world, that they will perish with their ungodly ways and unbelief if they do not repent. Habakkuk 1, and the verse 1 to 5, we can read, the burden which the prophet Habakkuk saw: "O Lord, how long shall I cry, and you will not hear, even cry out to you violence, and you will not save? Why do you show me iniquity and cause me to see trouble? For blundering and violence are before me. There is strife and contention arises. Therefore, the law is powerless, and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous. Therefore, perverse judgment proceeds. Look among the nations and watch. Be utterly astounded. For I will work a work in your days which you would not believe, though it were told you. And we all told this a lot of times. And many, many years later, Paul also warns and repeats the same statement as Habakkuk. Acts 13 and verse 40 to 41. Behold, you despisers, marvel and perish, for I work a work in your days, a work which you will by no means believe, though one were to declare it to you. But no one takes warning from among of all the nations who don't know God. And no one wants to know about the time of adversity. One of the reasons Christ said he would come like a thief in the night, and we have to watch them. Let us look Revelation. Let us look Revelation 16 and verse 15. Behold, I'm coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. This is one of the important keys to entering the kingdom of God. But let us look at the time of adversity. Jesus Christ said, Matthew 24. Matthew 24, we begin in verse 3. Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him greatly saying, tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. This is a very dangerous time. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars, so that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. This is important for us. The end is not yet. This is just the beginning of sorrows. For nations will rise against, verse 7, nations and kingdom against kingdom, and there will famines, pestilences, and earthquakes, and various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows, not the tribulations. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will offend it, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Think about it. This will be a very, very difficult time. If we are hated by our own brethren, this is sad. It's mad and terrible. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. We have to be very careful. This is our biggest test. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. We have to stay strong, not lazy. What else can happen? Let us read Luke 21, and I begin in verse 12. But before all these things, they will lay their hands on you, persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons. You will be brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. But it will turn out for you as an occasion for testimony. Therefore, settle it in your hearts not to meditate beforehand on what you will answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries will not be able to contract it or resist. You will be betrayed even by parents and brothers, relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. What a cruel time. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But not a hair of your head shall be lost. By your patience, possess your souls. Do we still have patience in this time? Or will our faith fall? It is not an easy time when the sorrows begin. And this time is only the beginning of sorrows, again. Not even the great tribulation, but it speaks of a great adversity that we too must certainly undergo. We will experience difficulties. We will saw this time, and we live in this sorrow. Sometimes. The great tribulation that follows is what we want and need to protect it from. But Paul also explains in his first letter to the Thessalonians that he has no intentions of talking about this time of adversity, but about the day of the Lord, which will come like a thief in the night. Not in the day, He comes not in the day and say, oh, hello, I'm here. You can come to me like a thief in the night. Let us look at the 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and 1 to 11. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as thief in the night. For when they say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as a labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet of hope of salvation, our salvation. We have to face and we have to love. Jesus Christ said, you are my friend, but only my friend when you do what I want from you. And then you can have the salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. This is what matters. We have been watching and waking, not to sleep. Some are in sleep mode and believe, my master is delaying his commerce. There is still much to be done. This is really crazy. When we sleep, Christ comes like a thief in the night. And then it won't be fun. It's not an easy time. But let us look in 2 Peter verse 3. 2 Peter verse 3, and we begin with verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, not the day, in which heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Let us look again at what Paul tells in the 1 Thessalonians 5. Verse 6 says, therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. But verse 9 and 10 said, our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. So what it is it? Sleeping or being awake? Verse 6 clarifies our spiritual attitude. We find this in Romans 13 and verse 11. And do this, knowing the time, that now is it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believe. Also, Ephesians 5 and verse 13 to 14. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Also in 1 Peter and verse chapter 5 and verse 8. 1 Peter 5 and verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Albert Bond's notes on the whole Bible says the following about sleep from 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 6 and Romans 30 and verse 11. It is from the edition 1962. Sleep. Inactivity. Insensibility to the doctrines and duties of religion. Men, by nature, are actively only in deeds of wickedness. In regards to religion, they are insensible, and the slumbers of the night are on their eyelids. Sleep is the kinsman of death, and it is the emblem of the insensibility and stupidity of sinners. The deeper the ignorance and sin, the greater the insensibility to spiritual things and to the duties which we owe to God and man. Verse 10 in the 1 Thessalonians 5, on the other hand, shows carnal minds. Romans 14 and verse 8 to 9 says, for if we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whatever we live or die, we are the Lord's. For to do this, and Christ died, and rose, and lived again, that he might be Lord to both the dead and the living. Once more, Albert Barnes notes on the whole Bible, says for the 1 Thessalonians 5 and 10. It's the same edition. Whether we wake or sleep, whether we are found among the living or among the dead, when he comes, the object here is to show that the one class, the living, would have no advantage over the other, the dead. This was designed to calm their minds in their trails and correct an error which seems to have prevailed in the belief that those who we found alive when we should return would have some priority over those who were dead. See notes on the 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 13 to 18. But it refers to those awake and those who sleep. Those who are alive and those who are dead, meaning that they would be together. Our would be with the Lord at the same time. There would be no priority and precedence. And Christ, of course, also exhorts us to do these spiritual witchlands. But it is not only exhortation, but help for the time of need that is to come. So that on the one hand, we are not surprised by these emergency situations, but on the other hand, we also know where and how we can get help or help ourselves. What does Jesus Christ say? We have to love. We have to love and don't sleep. We have to awake. Matthew 24 and verse 32 to 39. Now, learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know the summer is near. So you also, when you see all these things, know that is near at the doors. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, also will coming the Son of Man be. Let us look also Luke 21 Luke 21. And we begin with 35. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch therefore, and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. The question is, how we do want to stay before Jesus Christ when he comes back? Lazy or strong? Sleepy or awake? When we are ready for the coming of Jesus Christ. Mark 13 and verse 18. Mark 13 and 18. He says, and pray that your flight may not be in winter. And in Luke 12:40, Christ tells us, therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Nobody means that. The Living Bible tells, so be ready all the time. Not then, when we know, oh, we have to do right now. But then, maybe it's too late. So be ready all the time. For I, the Messiah, will come when less expected. So what happens when the time of need comes? And there comes. Absolutely. I ask again, what emotions do these things trigger in us? Tired? What do we have to fear? What should we be guided by? Is there a solution for all these problems that the world is facing or not? This could be at a time when we may also have to reckon with problems. And many people might then say, well, where is your God now? Can't he help you now? He don't want to help you? Is he letting you down? This is the answer from the world. Exactly, then this can become a dangerous situation for us, for all of us. When such moments trigger feelings of despair in us and we leave God's way because of it, there is no excuse anymore. Except waiting for the fiery indignation. That's it. What we got there. And then, it's a bonfire for Satan. And then, when we know that it's wrong to leave God's way, and know that God is watching us. But we do not bother because of fear and adversity, then we hear what God has say to us in Proverbs 1, and we begin in 24. Because I have called you, I have called and you refused. I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded. Because you disdained all my counsel and would have none of my rebuke. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your terrors come. When your terrors come like a storm and your destruction comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come up on you, then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me. But why? Here's the answer. Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would have none of my counsel and despite my every rebuke. Therefore, they shall at the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancies. For the turning away of the symbol will slay them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will secure without fear of devil, of evil. But only we, if we watch, if we awake and don't we sleep. Proverbs 24 and verse 10 says, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. So, what do we have to fear? What are we guided by? And what provision do we have? Everything is given for us. We have nothing to fear, and there is an important formula that says, you must love the Lord, your God, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. This is the first and the most important commandment that we have. But just as important is the second. Love your fellow man as yourself. What does Paul say about the love? He said, when I have everything, all the knowledge of God, when I have all the faith, but I have no love, I am nothing. Nothing. And we can't go in the kingdom of God. We can only be and remain friends of Christ if we do what he commands us to do. What Christ demands of us, namely to keep the commandments of God. Some only love in words, but we have to love with our heart for every brethren and God and Jesus Christ. And what do the psalmists tell us in Psalm 9 and verse 7 to 9? Psalm 9, verse 7 to 9, but the Lord shall endure forever. He has prepared his throne for judgment. He shall judge the world in righteousness, and he shall administer judgment for the peoples in uprightness. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. Also Psalm 20 and verse 1 and 2. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob defend you. May he send you help from sanctuary and strengthen you out of Zion. In Psalm 37 and verse 39 to 40 says, but the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust him. They trust him. Do we trust in God? But of course, we need faith and hope for all this. Let us look Psalm 37 and verse 1 to 7. Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon but cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desire of your heart. Commit your way of the Lord, trust also him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked shames to pass. Also Proverbs 12 and 13. Proverbs 12 and verse 13. The wicked is ensnared by the transgression of his lips, but the righteous will come through trouble. And Proverbs 11, verse 8 says, the righteous is delivered from trouble, and it comes to the wicked instead. Also Proverbs in chapter 17 and verse 17. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Let us look Romans 12, verses 9 to 21. It is translated from the German Hope for All. Let your love be sincere. And as you hate what is evil, love what is good. Be bound together in heartfelt love. Mutual respect should govern your life together. Verse 13. Help other Christians who are in need and be hospitable. As God's blessing, and all those who persecute you indeed, bless them instead of cursing them. Rejoice with those who rejoice, but weep also with those who mourn. Be of one mind among yourselves. Don't aim high and don't be too proud of menial tasks. Be careful not to look down on others. This is a problem too. When somebody begins to hate another brother, verse 17. Never repay injustice with new injustice. Behave in exemplary manner toward all people. As far as it is possible and depends on you, live in peace with all people. Not only with your family or your friends or your neighbor, with all the people. We have to be a light. 19, verse 19. Dear friends, do not do justice yourselves. Rather, leave judgment to God. For he has said in Scripture, it is mine revenge. I, the Lord, will repay them. It's not our sin. God has this to do. Verse 20. Act as the Scripture require of you. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. So you will put him to shame. Don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil with good. And what important lesson do we learn from Peter in 1 Peter 5? 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5 to 9. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking from he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same suffering are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. And the last chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 8 to 10. For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were burnt beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life. Yes, we have the sentence of the death and ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, who raised the death, who delivered us from the great death, and those deliver us, in whom we trust that he will still deliver us. With this, I would like to conclude my sermon and ask you all to remain strong and courageous in your trust in God in the time of need, so that we can also withstand the dangerous attacks of Satan until the day of the return of Jesus Christ.